Welcome to another Principle of Hospitality podcast. It's fantastic to have you listening along, so thanks for tuning in. We've had a collision of worlds, a joining of forces, a banding of brothers. Sash from Principle Design and me, Sean from Open Pantry Consulting, are pleased to announce that we've got a new venture for 2021. You know what it is. It's Principle of Hospitality. Food brings people together and promotes community, and Principle of Hospitality is here to disrupt current perceptions of what the hospitality industry can achieve in today's ever-evolving and challenging environment. And that's why we partnered with Chef's Hat on this Principle of Hospitality podcast. Now, if you don't know, Chef's Hat is actually the largest family-owned and operated hospitality supplier in Australia. They strive to inspire cooks, chefs, bakers, and bartenders to deliver the best product with the best tools every day. So we're so proud to partner with Chef's Hat, where the industry shops. Now, today's podcast, Colab Pantry, launched in June 2020 and brings together more than 2,000 products in one easy-to-navigate online platform, partnering with some of Victoria's most loved restaurants, bars, chefs, local makers, producers, and organizations, using food for good to create a community that can continuously share, create, and learn together. The brand was conceived by Danielle, Natasha, and Avin, who pulled their retail, digital marketing, and hospitality expertise to help the food and beverage industry in Victoria navigate through COVID and come out the other side together. After all that, it is an absolute pleasure to welcome Danielle and Natasha to the show. How are you both?
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely fantastic to have you both on the show. Now, Colab Pantry is a brand that I really was excited about in 2020, as I was, as a lot of Victorians were watching Dan Andrews' press conferences, and then all of a sudden he said Colab Pantry, and I was like, wow, this is exciting. Who's this brand about? So it's been great to see, you know, you guys grow in the last year, and to talk about it a year after and how the idea came about. So Danielle, maybe, or Natasha, I don't care. How did the idea for Colab Pantry come about?
Well, the idea stemmed from an emotional project initially. Mm-hmm. You know, we love the food industry and we love food in general, and wanted to do our bit to help the industry. Mm-hmm. Danny and I were having a conversation, just, you know, texting each other, mm-hmm. talking about life in general, mm-hmm. and then how we, I guess, felt a little bit not necessarily lost, but like we wanted to do something more.
Sure.
I had been made temporarily, stood down.
Yes.
I was in the hospitality industry myself. Mm-hmm. And I think just being connected with so many family and friends who are also in the hospitality industry and seeing sure. them struggle, not mm. knowing how long this thing was going to last, mm. We were like, what can we do? And I guess nobody knew how long it was going to last. Mm. And so initially we thought about creating an event, because it was right at the end of event season that this was all coming about.
Right.
When, yeah, so we were in the middle of the Grand Prix and we were waiting to get the call whether we're going ahead or whether it's going to get pulled. Obviously it got pulled. And then so we thought, well, this thing might only last a couple of months. Maybe we can ban all, you know, Melbourne's best restaurants and bars and create, you know, a wicked event in a few months' time. And then slowly we started to see that it was going to last a bit longer.
Yes.
And then we learnt that we needed, all these restaurants needed a platform to sell their products that they were pivoting.
Mm-hmm.
So with the previous company that I was with, I assisted in doing that, in setting up that marketplace.
Oh, wow.
And then we just saw that everybody else was doing it, but they didn't have a platform to do so or the logistics to do it. Mm-hmm. And then that's where Danny and I had the chat. That stemmed. Then Danny had all these bright ideas. And then she was like, I know a coder and he can code the website. And then that's when our third business partner, Avin, came in. And then we were just like, it just kind of like – went off then in terms of our ideas were just like going and going and going, and we found that there was nothing like this at the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
The three of us lived out of suburbs, so at the time when people were pivoting or restaurants were pivoting, you could only get goods delivered to you within like 15 to 20 kilometer radius,
yeah,
and then there was that 5 kilometer radius
yes
block, which was you know. So then, yeah, we said, let's create something. Let's make it happen. Mm-hmm. And then that's kind of the short version, I guess.
And then I think as we started to go down the path of unraveling this beast that we started to create, we it was really interesting. We learned so much and saw that there actually was this gap in the market between these local favourite restaurants that everybody loves and knows, and being able to access those products wherever you are.
Yes.
Between that and your sort of local, like big chain supermarkets where you can get everything in the one spot, but it's all this mass produced product.
Yeah, of course.
And so we started to think, hang on a minute, this is actually something that people need and want. And we really saw that in our customers and saw that recurring customer base and started to, you know, even speak directly to our customers and ask them what it is that they want and see it in their patterns.
Yeah.
And also in the restaurants, you know, after lockdown, we saw so many restaurants continue to contact us and say, I want to create these products. Like, how can we do it? And we are very much a collaborative sort of business. Like, we love working really closely with our brands. So we'd talk to them and say, let's do this. And this product could work really well, and almost become a little bit of consultants with them.
Yes.
but yeah, so it started out of this want to help, and it kind of escalated and turned into something so much bigger than ourselves, really.
Yeah, yeah.
That's definitely
really exciting to continue with.
Yeah, and I think that's just it. We do love to help people. And that's how, you know, even Danny and myself met, by just wanting to help each other. And I think we see, you know, you have that downtime even during the winter months, but quite typically, where a lot of restaurants, or the hospitality industry, usually they'll typically depend on that summer peak period.
Yes.
And then, yeah, they found that there's this additional revenue stream. So it's like they've got the chefs that are there, you know, having downtime.
Yeah,
like,
well, they need to do something.
Exactly. Yeah. And, yeah, it works out because it's not chewing into their dine-in service.
Yeah.
You know, especially on a Friday or a Saturday night, peak periods. They can do it throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
If they're making condiments or ready-made meals, they can prepackage them, bottle them up, and then we kind of deal with the logistics and all the fun stuff.
I'm sure you can remember, but who was your first supplier on the platform?
We kind of started with about five. Uh-huh. Actually, I think it was, five or six. Yeah. I remember, at the beginning it was really tricky to get people to understand what it is we were trying to do.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a whole new concept, and just actually in those initial conversations we really developed and changed our model so much because it ended up being more of a research call than it was about trying to get them on the platform. And it was like, hang on a minute, no, that's not going to work for them because that's going to interrupt them when they open back up to service. That's going to be too confusing, and how do we let customers cross-purchase between all the brands.
Yeah, of course.
And it be easy for the restaurants. And it was a whole sort of, like I said, unravelling of the beast.
Yes.
the first few brands were so fortunate for. They completely trusted us in a whole new concept that was just like, you know.
Completely nobody left was field, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was Ginger Boy, Rice Paper Scissors, Market Lane,
Samage,
and
I'm trying to think who else, because then they started all like unraveling, you know.
Some of them did different brands as well, didn't they? Like, they did sub brands on their normal brand and that kind of thing too.
Yeah. But I remember Lalo Bar as well.
Lagoon.
They were the first five. And
Lagoon Dining came on. Yeah.
Wow.
Which was really good.
Yeah.
Then kind of after that it was we got it up and running, and it was so much easier to be able to explain because people had that visual of that they could actually see what it is and what it does and test it out. I remember some of the first brands we got on were actually testing the platform out, which we loved because we were so pedantic about the way things are packaged and sent and how they're shipped. And
it's awesome.
So and then after that it was much kind of easier to get them on, and then they all started contacting us. And
The beginning went really quick, slow but quick. Then once it kind of took off, then it just took off.
Which
was great. But then it's almost like a blur at the beginning.
was it easier as well because you had Shane Delia doing Providor, and then brands like Mr. Yum doing really high intensity tech, to help out with delivery and pickup and that kind of stuff? Did you find that easier to then go to a restaurant and say, hey, we're doing this and it's separate to everything else in the market?
No, I think the opposite.
Really?
It was confusing because restaurants were like, wait, so are you doing that or what's the difference? And
we
had to try and explain how it was different.
Yeah.
And also because I think they had either an established brand already or, Shane is established himself.
Yes.
So for us it's like, who are these random people?
Where did they come from? Why are they doing this?
You're building some website? What?
Yeah. Makes no sense.
So it's about building that trust as well and those relationships.
Yeah, sure.
Because it was great to see that even so many restaurant owners wanted to understand the business and the model as well, why we were doing it a particular way. Even from the customer's perspective, how does the shipping work? How was that calculated? Every aspect. Which is really, it's great to see that they love every intricate detail as well, as we do, and we try to factor in everything when we're making decisions.
Sure.
And I think that's really key as well. When we take on these brands, we almost, they're like our little babies. We want to make sure that, that we're looking after them properly and doing them justice as well. We're so protective of the brands, and we're so honoured that we get to work with these brands and ensure that they've got this almost cult following in terms of their customers. You've got people that'll fly interstate just to try their seasonal menu. So it's like, well, we need to ensure that we're looking after them. So from the whole customer journey, the shipping process, ensuring that the costs are all factored in, they had a lot to kind of question. For us to ensure we were getting that message right, it had a little bit of – we had to kind of – find our way through it initially. We got there. We're getting there still.
How does Colab Pantry work? If I go onto the platform and then I can buy from Ginger Boy or certain other stores. So how does that sort of collate? How does it sort of work in a website sort of process?
So as a consumer coming on the website, you can literally purchase from all the different brands, products, individual products, and pop them all into your cart. And then from a consumer point of view, it all arrives in the one box together. So you're getting everything you want from all your favorite restaurants in the one transaction.
Right. So you guys are managing that process, right? You're literally got stock from all these places and then logistically putting it all together and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We didn't think we'd have a warehouse last
year. That happened through naivety. That's the key word there.
It's going to say that's a lot of stock, right?
Easily.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
We've got lots of – oh, sorry.
No, you're right.
We've got
– we have.
Someone say something. It's fine.
Okay. So we've got part and wholesale. So some stock that we keep in the warehouse.
Yep.
And then obviously the perishable goods we collect a few times a week as well. So the brands that we have on board, they've got access to a back-end platform.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to see all the orders as they come through. So there's no wastage there. They can prepare orders as required, really.
Wow. That's great.
I mean, yeah, so they can, I guess, factor in, I guess, that food prep, however they're you know, purchasing their goods.
Yeah.
A lot of them now have ongoing retail arms, so they have stock kind of sitting there, and they know the quantities that they're expecting as well, so
yes.
it's easier. But we're about minimizing waste as well. We're not about that, and ordering as much as required as the customer orders. They see that,
yeah.
and they can prepare for that as well.
Yeah. Have the brands like come up with have they, obviously they would have been inventive at the start, right? Have they continued to try and invent and change their products as sort of the year has gone on, and they've been on the platform a long time?
That's been like something that we've actually loved to watch the process of, because at the beginning, you know, they were pivoting, so they were creating these products as quickly as possible, and then kind of saw, wow, like there's a real uptake on them, and there's people from all over Australia purchasing these products. And to slowly watch, like obviously we have seen them because we're dealing with the products day in, day out. We've seen them evolve, like their packaging evolve, their products evolve, even in terms of testing shelf life and things like that. We've seen some of their shelf life be extended as they keep doing more tests and keep developing these products to a much higher level. So that's been, really, really interesting and exciting to see.
It's been nice to see that. It's funny, like we might receive a product, say like Entrecote, they've changed their packaging almost three times. And it's like...
Sounds like them.
And it's good looks, though. It's great. They've done such a great job. And you look at them and they've got, you know, their nutritional details. They've got like the perfect packaging in terms of the branding, how it's sealed properly. And you're like, remember what it used to look like. And now look at it, it's developed and in such a short period of time. And now they've got all these other products as well.
Yes.
So they almost have this whole range, which is fantastic. And when we see our other brands, they might ask us, oh, you know, can we have some feedback? What do you think? And even like Kirsty from Babajan, you know, she's working on all of her labeling and she's got like so many great ideas as well in terms of development.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see everyone kind of lean on each other as well.
Yeah.
And even you know, you look at the likes of Via Porter, they're always so lovely and helpful and willing to just pass on contacts as well.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of packaging, if someone is looking at getting into the retail space and they can't because they're struggling to find, you know, packaging that suits, they're happy to tap into our network and it's nice to see everyone, you know, sharing
together.
Yeah.
Was that a surprise for both of you, like coming – even though you're coming from the industry, to see a community really sort of come together and really form during, you know, really cement itself in Melbourne during COVID times? Because we've talked a bit about with other guests on the podcast about how that sort of happened, and like, you know, Kirsty from Babajan telling me certain people were calling her during that time and asking her if she was okay. You know, and that's been one isolated case. Like we've had that many times with guests on the podcast. Like were you guys surprised about the sharing of information in the hospitality industry.
Yeah. Well, I guess this goes back to what we were saying earlier off the podcast. Personally, like my experience in hospitality was largely with Market Lane.
Yes.
So it wasn't as much of a surprise to me because I was used to having that amazing community and my experience of working in hospitality has been with just incredible, lovely, generous, sharing people.
Yeah.
And so, it was something that I hoped that there were more of.
Yeah.
More people like that out there and more people like that in the industry.
Yeah.
It's been nice to see that and be a part of that.
Yeah.
Be a part of developing that and continuing to like foster that in our own in collab.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it was definitely interesting to see people connect because you'd almost think that, you know, everyone was kind of looking after themselves. Initially you'd think, oh, you know, I need to win this battle myself because I'm going to compete against so many others, consumers wanting ready-made meals at home. And, you know, if you're doing one type of cuisine, you want to look after that field. But everyone did well, the people that we worked with, they were like a community connecting with one each other.
Yes.
One another. How's my English? Yeah, so it was nice to see. I think it was a little bit surprising, but in a delightful way.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. I just remember I think I said to you before I spoke with Andy Joy, who, you know, from Carlton Wine Room, one of the co-founders there with Trav, and he used to work with Andrew McConnell for a long time, like I think 10 plus years off the top of my head. And Andrew just rang him during, I think, a time that was really tough, and he said, "You know, we're just going to get through this, don't you?"
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty much, yeah, I think, the end of the phone call. And yeah, I think we need lovely. To. And why I keep highlighting that on many podcasts is I think we need to remember that as we come to a new normal or a change in direction moving forward. In that, the reason why everyone got through last year was the fact that we were all so close together and the fact that we trusted each other.
Yeah,
so I think we need to continue that.
It kind of threw us in. And even in the beginning of like how CoLab started, it threw us in this position where everybody was vulnerable. And so we had no choice, really. We had to trust each other. We had to lean on each other. Point. And when you do that, as we actually did a behind the brand with Oriental Tea House this week, and David Zhu said something that really stuck with me because it's the essence of what CoLab is. But, you know, when you do that and you work together harmoniously, it creates a healthy society. Like, that's what we need to be a healthy society. And it's so true, because you can't get through this life alone. And that's not what humans are made to interact and work with one another, help each other. And, yeah, I think it's easy to sort of get stuck in that mindset where it's like, there's all this competition and I've got to compete and I've got to try and stand it and I can't share my secrets and all that sort of stuff. But you realise that you get so much further in life and you're so much happier when you just actually share and work together.
Yeah.
And it's invaluable.
Mm.
Yeah. It was – we were also saying this just before we started, but it was really surprising and nice to see a lot of our vendors purchase – on CoLab Pantry and not purchasing their products, but purchasing from, you know, the brands that we had. They were cross-purchasing and gifting, you know, to others and writing little notes. So it was nice to see them supporting one another. Like, it sounds cliche when you're like, oh, support local, but they really, really were. Yeah. And you did have to, you know, we do have to support local more than ever.
Yes.
You know, to survive and just... Yeah, it's so much more fun when you are working with one another and working with your neighbours and, you know, the local cafe down in Collingwood and that bar in Fitzroy. It just, there's more of a story there as well.
Yeah. Storytelling's been the big thing that's come out of last year, I think, which is really, really cool. I talked to the start of the podcast about, you know, the press conference, right, that I saw that with Dan Andrews and talking about CoLab Pantry and all that kind of stuff. And even him saying to the press, like, oh, and we've also got some boxes here for you to take away and stuff like that. Like, it was a fantastic advertising exercise. Like, how did it come about during that time that you all of a sudden, you know, the government was talking about CoLab Pantry? Because I hope you guys both reflect, and obviously Avan as well, like the fact that you kept CoLab Pantry would have kept so many venues continuing to trade last year. But how did it come about the association with the Victorian government and obviously, you know, the bit of an uplift during that time?
Yeah. Well, we were lucky enough for Visit Vic to reach out and chat to us. And they had, this idea for a campaign where they had a lot of funding to put back into the economy because tourism, you know, unfortunately was a little down.
Yes.
And so we started a conversation about a particular partnership, but at the time it was still, we didn't really know what
that was going to be.
And it was kind of
at
like
all.
At all, no. And I remember having the conversation with one of the guys from Visit Vic, and they told me briefly about what it could be, but it did sound quite big, but I was like, nah, it's not going to be that. Like, nah.
I remember Zash telling me, because she was like, oh, we're doing this partnership with Visit Victoria, and I was like, oh yeah, cool. And she's like, yeah, it'll like, it's going to be big. And I'm like, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then next minute I get a message from, which, sorry.
Well, yeah, so just going back a little bit, because so we had to set up quite a few, like, you know, different agreements and getting all that, the you know, digital stuff in line for, you know, what a partnership involves, digital partnership involves.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, yeah, if you can just basically have everything set up by, I think it was like the 19th of September. It was a particular day.
Right.
And actually, I think it was a Sunday, and it was just
so odd. I remember it vividly.
Yeah. It was a Sunday, yeah. And for me, like, when you're working with whether it's media agencies, PR agencies, just partnerships in general, like, you don't have your due date a Sunday.
No.
Like, it's like, oh, it's the government. Maybe they're just they're working. They're
active. Yeah, they're going.
Yeah, they're going. So we went with it, and we said, okay, we're just going to make sure everything's all set up and ready to go by this particular day.
Yeah.
And what they had said to us was they're sending the proposal, the idea, to the Premier for approval. And we just thought, yeah, okay, cool. They're sitting in a boardroom saying, what's on the agenda for today? That sounds good. Let's go with that. That's what we were kind of thinking. And then I was sitting at home with my partner, and my partner gets a text message from his cousin saying, oh, Colab was on the press conference because we were watching the press conference, but at that time we were doing 20-hour days, so anytime we could sleep, we would have a little recharge. And then I remember jumping online, and even our landlord messaged us as well, saying, oh, Colab was at the press conference. And we're like, wait, what's going on here?
All these people just started texting.
So then I was speaking to Danny and Evan, and we jumped online and we saw all these people online, and we're like, oh my gosh. And I remember it was still like 11 o'clock. You know, I was still in my lazy Sunday suit. And it was just like, we did not leave that seat for the next, I don't even know how long. It was just... It just went off. And when we say it was like 0 to 1,000, it was 0 to 1,000 from that time to like 6 months, like, or even more.
Really?
Like, we're so, like, grateful for that partnership.
Yeah.
And even just so it could get awareness out for our partners.
Yeah.
I mean, we provided the platform, sure, but they provided the goods.
And
it was great to see so many consumers being aware of what is available for them, from regional Vic as well to Metro, and just the great supply of goods that we've got. I mean, even ourselves, we love food. That's all we do is, you know, eat and drink and wine and dine. And so we're always just like wowed by the products that we actually have as well.
Yeah.
If we had more time to cook and enjoy. Everyone's like, you must have so much fun with all these products. And we're like, we wish we could just sit there and have a feast ongoing. But soon enough, hopefully. We're getting to enjoy it a little bit more now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine it would have supported like so many regional, like, just sort of touched on them, but the regional Victorian part, because that 5K lockdown was in place for, you know, felt like an eternity, but I'm sure it was like 8 or 9 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
That they would have been so happy that that was happening at that point, right? Because you're buying stock off them.
Yeah.
You know?
We had a lot of fun with working. Well, we still do work heavily with Regional Victoria, but in that time, like, we went and we gathered some of the owners of, you know, like the owner of Meredith Dairy and Sonzo, and someone that works with Four Pillars, like, what's it? Pillars and Cuvée, and we did like a whole day shooting like this incredible campaign just to start, like, to really tell their stories.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun, and really, yeah, just, it's so lovely working with Regional Victoria. Yeah, I love getting all the local produce, and actually, like, it's, I don't know, something really special about it.
Yeah.
And it's just
where
so
it comes
good.
From, and
like, it really, people talk about it, like,
yeah,
how
it's true,
great.
Right?
But it's we're just so lucky.
Yeah, lucky.
Do you guys get a lot of obviously, I imagine your big core base is in Victoria, who your customers are. But, like, do you get many, like, interstate or even international kind of orders?
Yeah.
As well?
So yeah, we get about 10% of our orders are interstate,
right?
And we've got about 5% of our orders are people purchasing from international.
Yes.
But for people in Australia.
So, right.
sending gifts to their family and friends. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, it's really cool. We, sometimes we look and we're like, how did this person find out about us? They're in like Tokyo. Or actually, one of the first online events we did, we had like some virtual events at the beginning through COVID. And we had guests from, like, one was from Tokyo there on the video with us. Wow. And yeah, we've people purchasing from all over Europe and America. And we're like, how do these people?
We had one recently on our customer chat from Hawaii asking if we ship her butter sauce to them.
Oh my God.
And I remember like just confirming it definitely needs to be refrigerated, right? But it's just like, it's insane.
Yeah. Wow. Let's talk about, you know, the different verticals in hospitality, and obviously what you guys are doing is definitely one of those verticals which is going to be, you know, incredibly important. Like, do you think it's going to be the new norm? Like, as people sort of dine in restaurants differently moving forward, and maybe restaurants aren't open 7 days a week, maybe they're open five, like, you know, the retail part or delivery part is going to be really important. So what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, interesting. So I guess, like, as we've mentioned, Colab started as an initiative to help, and somewhere along the line we were like, okay, is this something that's long term, or is this just for COVID? And that's where we started really doing a lot more research into the space and seeing, what the opportunity is. Mm-hmm. There's just such an, like, people love dining in restaurants, and I don't think anything's, you know, ever going to replace that. Like, I still love dining in restaurants, but I think there's this increase of people being so busy and time poor.
Yeah.
And just this increase of wanting to eat well but not spend a lot of time cooking, but they still want that time at home, that quality time with their family.
Yeah.
And knowing where their produce is coming from, knowing that they're eating something really good for them, and knowing where it comes from, even knowing the story behind the people that are making it or where the produce is coming from and grown.
So
I think it's there's definitely like an increase heading in that way. Just such an amazing opportunity of being able to tap into that and create that connection between consumers and their local producers.
Really,
that's our main aim, is just to that connectedness, and so much more than what you're purchasing and eating. It's more about how you're feeling and the community around that, and that you feel like you belong to something bigger, you know, like that real sense of belonging. And it's, I don't know, there's so many emotions with food, I think, when you're knowing you're a part of this huge community. And
yeah, I agree.
Even the act of eating food, it's so much like this, it's so wholesome. It's often shared with friends and family and happiness, and there's so many just really positive emotions created with food, and that's something that we really want to drive and keep encouraging and keep supporting across everything that we do. So
we were recently talking to a couple of girls who their background is in nutrition and all science based, and I guess wellness and mental health incorporating food.
Yes.
And it was really interesting that they referenced the Mediterranean diet.
Right.
Where, you know, you look at the way they eat, but it's more about their lifestyle. Like, they eat like a bucket load of carbs, and we're all for that.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not just, you know, it's not just fruits and veggies, but it's a lot of fruit. It's a lot of carbs. They drink wine.
Yeah.
They have a beautiful glass of wine. They'll have a shot of limoncello after dinner, and they'll have a siesta. They'll have a swim, but it's about, you know, bringing people together, laughing, listening to music, and just having a great time. And you feel it when you go out and dine in, or whether you're hosting, you know, friends and family over, you have such a great time. You look at Easter, Christmas, birthdays, like, you're always, you know, unless you're having like, you know, a little family dispute, as but it's usually a great time, you know.
Say that, because I remember doing a lot of research into the the communities with the longest lifespan in the world. And one of them is in Italy and one's in Japan. And I was researching into what the common factors are. And there was nutrition. And then on top of that was that sense of community. So they all, they live in these communities where even when they're like the food that they eat is all gathered together and they share and it's really community oriented. And it's, I think a big part of our core as humans is feeling like, you're a part of something more. You're a part of a community. I think when you start to lose that and you feel like you're no longer a part of anything, it just, it does so much to you. Like it really destroys, you know, everything. So it's just, it's nice to feel that. And something we, like I said, really want to encourage, but being able to have that produce and bringing that back to your home and sharing it with your family and being able to spend that quality time with your kids or your partner or your friends is something that people still, you know, they're always going to want to do that.
Sometimes
you do want to get away from, like, love dining out, but sometimes you do want to have that real intimate, private, like those private moments where you can just have that real downtime and just, you know, be really vulnerable and let go. And so I think it's always going to be something that's a need.
And I think just hang with me for a second here. I think that kind of comes through on your website and the way you guys storytell, right? And even like how you pick together something, and I will buy something very shortly from your website as I'm talking about it. But it's curation. Like I can see that you've curated the list of venues that you guys want to work with and want to support. And luckily it's a lot of great venues in Victoria. But that's going to be important moving forward for the hospitality industry, right? As we hopefully hit a renaissance period for the hospitality industry in Australia and around the world, and building the hospitality industry for the right reasons. And having important verticals like you've got, but not just talking about it from a delivery standpoint or a tech standpoint, but talking about it from a trust standpoint. Like people are going to come to CoLab because they trust what you guys have curated in your list and your marketplace for brands that you guys respect and know and have conversations with and have film shoots with and all those kind of things.
A really, really important factor of what we do and who we work with. Like we're so particular with who we work with because we want to ensure that we're all on the same page and our values align, and that's really stemmed through everything in our business. Is does it meet with our values? Yes or no? It's a clear answer of what decisions we make and who we work with. So
100%.
It's really important to us.
And that's exactly why we started. It never started off as, hey, let's start a business. And it was never, you know, it was never, oh, let's just create a moneymaker. It wasn't that. And, you know, as you would know, it's hard. It's so hard. I mean, we all ended up leaving our jobs last year to put all of our energy into this in the middle of a pandemic.
I know the feeling.
But we do feel very strong about that storytelling, and that it's not just a shop. You're not just coming on, it's not just a marketplace, but it is about that, the curation and the storytelling and providing that experience.
Sure.
Yeah.
If I can, to ask you a sort of founder question, because I'd like to sort of understand with business owners, like how they get through tough times. And do you think it's been beneficial to have the three of you with Avan as well, lean on each other? Because what you would have been dealing with is not just 20-hour days, I'd imagine, is also listening to founders and owners of hospitality venues tell you that they're in trouble, that they're going really well, that this really needs to work.
Yeah, there's been definitely like so much. I think my whole life compiled together doesn't even match up.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
This could turn into a therapy session.
How long do you have?
It's now the Dr. Sean show.
But definitely, like having the three of us has, like there's no way that I could have gotten through and like I speak for myself on this, you know, on this front, but got in through even probably half of the days without both Tash and Evan. Like we all bring so many different parts, and you know, I'll be having a meltdown and they'll be give, like Tash will give me the really motherly advice and that nurture, and then Evan will give me like this, like the advice that I need to hear and be straight out with me. Right. And it's, we're really, really lucky to have the three of us.
Yeah.
I don't think we could have gotten through it without each other.
Yeah. We always say, funnily enough, like if we wanted to start a business together, we probably wouldn't have picked each other to just because. Yeah, like,
that's interesting.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Danny and I, we met through work, but we became friends.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know Evan prior to.
Tash and Evan met at the bank signing for the to become a
just
company.
To legalise things. Yeah, that was our first meet.
Literally, because we were in restrictions, we were in isolation. Oh, so all of our conversations were on the phone and Zoom. Yeah. And the only time we could actually go physically meet each other was when we were going to the bank. And they're like, but by real chance, we just work so well together on every level. Like, don't get me wrong, obviously we have our
altercations,
but we're just, I don't know.
It's hard to explain, but I think maybe it's spending that much time with each other, but we've almost become like siblings where we do bicker.
Yes.
But I think if we got through last year, I still don't know how we got through it, because it's not a pity party at all, but like we didn't eat. We would sleep maybe 4 hours, if that. If we slept 4 hours a night, that was a good solid night.
Wow.
And in terms of eating, we were just like throwing bread in each other's mouths as we would move. And we're already tiny, so we can't really afford to waste too much. Yeah.
But even like not only the physical elements of it, but just the emotional and mental challenges, because you know when something is consuming you so much, everything else is lacking, you know, like our relationships. We couldn't spend time with them. We're so fortunate to have people that actually really understand and supported us through that and still do support us, but our friends, like it's not everybody understands. It was such a quite a unique situation, I felt personally. I think we leaned on each other so much. Like we had to lean on each other because we were going through the same thing. And when you're down in that dump, it's kind of like talking to other people. You want to talk to people that understand and are going through the same thing so that you feel like they're going to give you the advice that's helping them. And
of course,
you know, it's just, it was vital.
And a lot of the challenges we dealt with, they were like, there were so many moving parts to it. If you had a fridge breakdown, you needed to sort that out.
Yep.
Then, like yesterday, you couldn't just be like, oh, sweet, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, it was responding to customers then. And we're such a tiny team. And I think we were trying to not necessarily pretend we were bigger, but just we wanted to ensure that we had
it all.
Yeah, look professional as well. But it was basically just us with like these octopus arms trying to do it all. It was challenging to just respond to everyone at the same time. And
Of course.
You know, we'd have thousands of emails and ensuring that we'd get back to everyone at an efficient time.
And then there's all these orders and then corporate and then inventory and
logistics,
finances, logistics. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. And it was like, oh my God.
I just had flashbacks to me delivering bread at 4 o'clock in the morning again. So I apologize. Now, final question to you both. Like, what are you looking forward to for, you know, 2021-22? Because like if you're getting interstate orders, you know, for Victorian produce, like I'm just super curious if you're thinking about doing Colab Pantry South Australia, Colab Pantry New South Wales, you know, those kind of things. Like what else are you looking forward to for the next year?
Yeah, I think like we have a lot in the works. We have a lot more to do with our Victorian model that we really want to solidify and kind of perfect as much as possible before we start rolling out into other states like that. But yeah, just we're just working on a lot. We just want to grow our community. We're changing out, like we're really rounding our offering and adding a lot more to it, which you'll see in the coming months. We're working with some really cool people, some cool partnerships coming up. Working a lot on our actual site and our customer journey as well. So we're working a lot on that and making lots of changes there, which we're really excited about too. But there's always, you know, a million things that need to be done. And I think the moment you kind of say, oh, like there's not much more to change, that's when it's time to call it quits. Like we're constantly just like, we need to do this, let's add this, let's keep in, like constantly improving the product and seeing how we can keep changing it. And
ladies, what's the best way that people can find out about Colab Pantry or connect with you guys?
Just jumping on the website, so colabpantry.com.au, or on Instagram, so colab_pantry. Yeah, but hopefully, like, feel free, you know, reach out, get in touch. We love chatting to people from
As I've said before, like, thanks so much for supporting the industry in 2020, and I really can't wait to see what you guys are going to do. I know it's on, it's really, really going to be an exceptional couple of years for you guys is what you do with broadening out the brand. So thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having us.
My pleasure. Thanks again for tuning into another episode of Principle of Hospitality, the podcast. We hope you really enjoyed this episode. Please comment, like, and share this podcast with your friends in the industry. We're making this content with the industry in mind, so we'd really appreciate you sharing along with those that you care about in the industry. Thanks as well to our sponsor, Chef's Hat, the largest family-owned and operated hospitality supplier in Australia. They strive to inspire cooks, chefs, bakers, and bartenders to deliver the best product with the best tools every day. We're so proud to partner with them. That's where the industry shops. And if you don't know us at Poe, Sash, my co-founder from Principal Design, has one of the best design agencies in Australia. So if you're looking for anything around strategy, branding, digital design, and graphic design, then you can find them at principaldesign.com.au, and myself at Open Pantry Consulting for anything to do with hospitality operations, strategy, and recruitment. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks to Chef's Hat for supporting us. And until next time, stay safe. Cheers.